Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back to Teachable Moments. I am your host, Amber Waters Porter. Today, I have questions, and I'm doing questions with Pastor Carolyn Porter. So she will not be doing her words of wisdom. But before we get into those questions, and we've received, like, so many questions going on about the shooting, so we're just basically going to try to answer some of those questions that people have that are just reeling about that event and the happenings in Parkland, Florida, with the shootings. But before we get into that, I just want to inform everyone just to stay tuned for Teachable Moments. I am going to be gone on a break. I have quite a few activities going on and events going on. I am in charge of helping plan a missions trip for the Church of God in Christ, and we have some dates and some events and some things coming up, so my attention is going to be quite thinly. So I will be back. I will be keeping up. Please continue to email me, reach out with your questions and things. I will try to do some drop-ins, and I'm not quite sure if this will be my last show this week or next week, but just stay tuned. We will get back to you. I'll be back soon. I just need to regroup, get through some things. If I can't be full swing, I don't want to do it at all. So I'm just going to take a break, do a little sabbatical, but I'll be back. And so on with my questions, we have a few minutes. Pastor Porter, how are you this evening?
I'm doing nicely. Thank you for asking.
Oh, great. So we've had quite an event that happened last week on the 14th of February, which is most people celebrate Valentine's Day. Just a really, really sad, sad catastrophe. And so the shootings in Parkland, Florida, which I'm sure most people know about, I believe it's 17 students and staff were killed by a shooter, a student who used to go to the school, who no longer does, but shot in up his school and got in and did some killings. And then he got out, tried to blend in he actually did. He was successful in blending in, but he still was caught. And so he's in jail now. But there are so many families that have lost their loved ones, and it's not just students, but teachers and coaches that were there. So I believe it shot some people on the pedestrians, the people who were outside the school, right?
Huh? I believe so, yes.
Yeah, it's just you never really know where danger is, and places you think you should be safe or your children should be safe, unfortunately, are not safe, and you just have to cover yourself with the blood, cover yourself, your children, your family, everyone with the blood, and just pray when they leave that you'll see them again whole and sound. And so we're going to deal with some of those questions. Pastor Porter has had quite a busy and full day, so we're going to get these questions. I'm going to try to answer as many as I can, but if I don't have your question answered, just shoot us an email and we'll try to get it on and answered. And that email is oneteachablemoment@gmail.com. So you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. These questions are so horrible, but they're questions that people have, and so we just have to get them out there and answer them with wisdom. It says, in light of the recent events in Parkland, Florida, my children are wanting to be homeschooled. What should I do? If I give in and bring them home,
am I teaching them to be fearful?
I thought about that same thing myself when I was watching the news the other day. If I had children, if my children were in public schools or charter schools, whatever, would I want to bring them home and teach them myself? And I have this to say. I know of a few families, several actually, that have homeschooled their children. Mm-hmm. And I understand that it's an excellent program.
Okay.
So it's not like you're just a glorified babysitter or a glorified daycare center or whatever. But there is a specific prescribed program that the children are to follow, and they do receive the necessary things that they need, tools, to be successful in their studies. Example, computers, laptops, and all of the information, grade-level information, and my understanding from just those that have been in our fellowship in our church, their children scored high and were above grade level at the point in time they did choose to return to a specified elementary or junior high school. So I would say if the parent is comfortable doing this, that the tools will be and are provided for them to be successful. The second question is, what should I do? It's up to you. I would suggest that, of course, you pray about it, because each parent, all parents, I should say, do not necessarily have the patience to work with their children. They may not even be educated or to a point that they could follow the program themselves. So it's something to really seriously consider, not just for the children, but for your own mental health, safety, and comfort.
Right.
If I give in and bring them home, this thing is, am I teaching them to be fearful? No, you're going to be teaching them a lesson, you know, their homeschooled, prescribed lessons. And, of course, you can oversee them. You can take that. And also, these homeschool programs provide for taking them to museums, to cultural activities. It's very, very well-rounded. And actually, the children may do better being homeschooled if you're capable of doing that for a period of time. So that's what I would say. No, you're not teaching them to be fearful. You can modify your lesson along with, and this is the other advantage, along with adding prayer and scriptures and spiritual things that uplift the children that they do not receive in a public school setting. That's my answer, Ms. Amber.
So, I don't know. I agree with you, and then on the other hand, I kind of think if you kind of pull them out, because of, and that's all based on whether they were actually staring down the barrel of the gun. The fear is real, but what happens to the, if you fall out the horse, you get to put the kid back on the horse and let him ride. You can't be fearful. I'm not going to take you out of school and let the fear win. You know what I mean? That's the other, I'm playing devil's advocate, the other argument. No, you need to go back into the school and you need to face your fears, or you're letting the terrorist or the person that was filled with so much hate or whatever, for whatever reason they came in and did the shooting, you're letting them win. What's your argument to that?
Well, by the same token, if they return to school, and again, each parent should and does know their own child and children.
Right.
Some kids can just let it roll off their back, in time, of course, you know. Let it roll off their back and they're fine. They can readjust and settle in. But if you find that you have a child that's shy or that's timid or that cannot respond appropriately, shall I say, when they return to school, then the best thing to do is to pull them out. I would not have them sitting in a place where they are afraid and or feel constantly challenged or suspicious and just unnerved.
Right.
So it may be a thing where you just have to really, really give your children support. You know, it's like when a kid says, a little person says, there's a monster in my room. What are you going? You're going to knock out all the walls to prove that there's no monster there? No. You go in, you turn the light on. You say, come on, let's look under the bed. Mommy's here. Nobody's going to hurt you. I'm here. So you have to kind of reaffirm and kind of comfort them and hold them, pat them and rub them and try to dissipate the fear and show them that they're a big boy or a big girl and that they're safe and in their home. So you just have to kind of put those types of, I'm thinking, those types of plateaus in place for the children.
Okay. There are some more questions about that, but I think this is a really good question. And I think sometimes I may struggle with this, or more people struggle with this question than people who really want to admit that they do. So the question is, how can I tell when I'm having a divine nudge not to go somewhere or not to do something versus thinking it's just me? I mean, it's just my conscience, or it's just me being fearful, or it's not a divine nudge. How can you tell, okay, if someone says don't go to work today, or something says get off this elevator, how can you tell when, hey, I better get off this elevator, that's God speaking in my ear versus just whatever the opposite of that is?
I would say my immediate answer to that is the Bible says my sheep know my voice. I'm not dealing with a stranger they will not follow. My sheep know my voice. And I think if we are in right relationship, good relationship with the Lord, when we get that nudge, we should know it because the thought is, the reality is, when the Holy Spirit is directing, nudging, speaking to our heart, there comes along with it a certain peace, a certain settling, a certain, I think I'd better
do this. Yeah.
Yes, that's what comes with it. Because just know, if it's in your mind, and you know what, and even if it is in your mind, you're conscious because you're not really a spiritual person and not really spiritually led. If your conscience says, better not do this, or you should go that way, you might best listen to your conscience. So I'm saying this kind of depends on your relationship with the Lord.
Okay, I want to ask you, while I ask this question, to think about a really good example of that question where you really, and it doesn't have to be you personally, but give us a really good example of when there was a nudging and it was God and listened and you saw the results of it. But
I can give you an example. It wasn't me. It was my mother.
Okay.
And it was my mother years and years ago. Mm-hmm. She told me this, and this is the first thing that comes to my mind because I was just a youngster when she was talking about it. Here it is. One night, on the weekend, my mom had been invited to a particular house party. Again, we're talking back years ago. She was invited, and she said she got herself all ready and fixed up, and she said she put the earbobs on. Now, you know how long ago when they call earrings earbobs.
Yeah,
she
put her
earbobs on, and she had pressed and curled her hair, and she was putting her little makeup on. She said, and the more she prepared to go, the more she got this feeling not to go. Mm-hmm. And she just kept pressing over, you know, just getting her little jewelry and necklace on or whatever and getting herself together. And the more she prepared to go, the more she got this restraining feeling not to go. There was no speaking in tongues. There was no Bible scriptures being quoted. Was no loud, yea, thus and behold, I say unto thee. She just kept pressing, and something was resisting. Finally, she said, oh, just forget it. She just threw her clothes down, pulled her clothes off, and threw herself across the bed and said, I just won't go. I don't know what this is. I'm just not going. Mm-hmm. And so she didn't. Later on, she heard, wherever the house party had been, the police came, did a raid, and arrested everybody. She thought she was going to a party. It was a party there, but downstairs or somewhere to the side, it was a speakeasy.
Oh.
So she yielded to, as you said, that little nudge, although it was very restraining to her.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you just have to know, if you get that. Now, conversely, we can talk about somebody else we know who said to us, invitation came, take a ride.
Right.
Put the hand on the door and heard a voice that said, don't get in this car. Don't go. Don't go. Young man continued on, got in the car. He told him back. Said, no, I already promised. I told him I was going to go. I'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Got in the car, went several miles away, ended up, the car went into a ditch, had an accident, went into a ditch. He was injured, and just the outcome was very unpleasant. But there was soft voice that said, don't.
Right. So, and I want to ask you, I heard a speaker saying on TV who said, she said that when sometimes you hear voices and you hear the voice of the Lord or whatever, you get a nudge and tells you not to do something and you see the result. But there are times where he's leading you and he tells you to go around, don't take this road, or go this way, or do something different, and you do
right.
it, and you do not see the results of why, why you're
yes.
told to go that way. And
right.
she said that God does that because he's teaching you to listen.
And to trust him.
Okay.
And to trust him.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you just missed a horrible event. You're just being, or a catastrophic event. You're just being taught to follow, and as you said, and to trust his voice.
And even if you don't see the results, it doesn't mean that there was not a result. You just didn't see it.
Right. Okay.
Let me just quote another scripture where the Lord said, blessed is he that believeth and hath not seen.
Okay.
So if you can just trust him and believe his word, even though you haven't seen it, you're blessed.
Good word. Okay, let's see. Several on here, they're asking. It says, here's one. How do I explain the death of the teacher who was a saved Christian? I guess to the children. How to explain to my children. So I guess there was a coach, I believe. It was a male coach or a teacher who was saved, and they did acknowledge that he was saved and he was a Christian and he was pretty devout and his relationship appeared to be strong, and yet he was killed in the shootings as well. How do you explain it to children who say, okay, well, didn't take care of his own, so if you cover me, if I'm covered and I'm his own, he was covered, why didn't he survive? How do you explain that?
Depending on the child's age, okay? That's first, depending on how old the child, the young adult, the teenage, whatever, is. And whether or not, again, they're spiritual or not. Let me just say this. The Bible says, and may have to take the child and let him read it over in Ecclesiastes, where it says, to everything there is a season. And as I have said so many, many times, we don't stop and think about this. But when we come in this world, when babies are born, they are born with a certain amount of days, months, or years.
Right.
Some children live 3 days, 3 hours, some babies gone. That's all they had. Some live 5 years, and they're gone. Some live to be 80, 90 years old, and they're still here.
Right.
So, and then the Bible says there's a time to be born and a time to die. It's hard sometimes to wrap our brain around that, but we don't know. It's hidden in under the veil of faith, under the veil of time, under the veil. Whether we're here for 20 years, 30 years, even 100 years. And so, again, how do you explain it? You have to tell them that to everything there is a season. And you may have to not use the actual death of these people, but give them another example of when something is blossoming and blooming, flowers, roses, you know, vegetables. They just plant a seed. It comes forth. It buds. It blooms. It blossoms. And then it's cut off and it's gone. So life and death are a part of our life and death, if that makes any sense.
Right.
And only God. Now, the other thing, God knows, obviously it was this gentleman, the coach, it was just his time to go. Unfortunately, he went by the way of a gunshot.
Right.
But it was his time.
So is it safe to say if we are all born with a number of days, and is it safe to say had he not been there, still would have been his day?
I would say yes.
Okay.
If that was his day, if that was the day that the Lord had placed in his DNA and his body, if that was the time for him to go, no matter where he was, he would have gone.
Right.
But conversely, he may have gotten up that morning and brushed his teeth, and when he looked in the mirror, he might have heard a voice that, don't go to school today. Call out. It wasn't his time. You follow me? He would have missed that day.
Right. Because, I mean, even in this event, the shooting in Parkland, there was a student who had just left, who just missed all of the events, and she would have been right there in the middle of it, but she got out of school early that day.
Exactly.
So
it wasn't her time. It just wasn't her time.
That answer, I guess, also fits for the how to explain to my children that it's not God's fault the student died in Florida.
Exactly. It was just there, that individual child's time. Unfortunately, it was a catastrophe or a murderous scene that caused it. And then here's something to think about too. At the precise moment, if any one of those children, if all of those children, I'm just using, if any one of them was in relationship with the Lord, just know this: the instant that the bullet into their body, their brain, their back, whatever caused the death, they were immediately in the presence of the Lord. To be absent in the body is to be present from the Lord.
To be absent from the body is present with the Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm not saying they went to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. But they were immediately. And just like when they had the 9/11 incident.
Right.
Somebody was sitting there, turned on their computer or was looking at their computer when that bomb exploded. Right. They went immediately to the face of the Lord.
Wow.
They may not have suffered the first pain. The body was destroyed, but right. Their spirit was released into his presence. Given, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Given that their life was committed and hid in him.
Wow. Makes you think. Gotta,
yes, it does.
Make sure you're always doing the right thing. As you know,
exactly.
When and where your time is. And so you want to be ready. Most people think that I have all the time in the world, or when I get older, or I can
exactly.
just live my life, or, you know, I got time to get things cleaned up. And that's not necessarily so. Children are dying quicker and sooner and just as much as older people are.
Yes.
Death has no age. It's just everyone. It's just sad, but it's a reality, as you said. And so, and I don't know how much more time we have. We have a few more minutes for this question. It says, I am irate, extremely irate about the shooting. How do I deal with the anger as a parent?
I think the answer is very simple. Let me quote a scripture again that says, be angry, but sin not. Mm-hmm. So to grab another rifle gun or knife and go run and try to kill somebody, that's being angry and sinning, you know. Be angry, but sin not. I would say they need to be proactive. They need to do something positive with that anger. Take it, use it. You've got to pray about it, release it, get therapy, whatever you need and your child needs. Go that route. But then get involved as with this matter and change the laws or you know, change, get involved with the community to make it a better and safer place. That's the quickest answer I can give.
Yeah, because people don't think anything good can come out of the death of these students. And maybe it's going to take this to get the attention of these lawmakers who we're supposed to pray for, that they'll do something about these guns and these laws. But,
and be proactive.
Right. Mm-hmm. Bible says we have to pray until we have to pray.
Exactly.
I got just about all the questions. I hope you guys don't discontinue sending me questions. Send them, and I'll be back. I'm going to go into a little sabbatical, but I'll be back. But thank you, Pastor Porter. And
you're more than welcome.
And I hope that you guys got the answers that you need. Respond, reply, let me know what you thought about the answers. OneTeachableMoment@gmail.com. That's the number OneTeachableMoment@gmail.com. Find your moment, and I'll talk to you soon. Good night.
Good night. Be blessed.